Initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers. From across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hey, this is Vern Troyer, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's TAM Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
You are listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn.
And this is Kelly Preston. I'm so excited.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
All right, it's Saturday. You know what that means. It's your number one entertainment show in the Tampa Bay area, Hollywood Connections. Now your host, the lady with all the connections, Miss Dawn Reese. Lights, camera, action. You're on.
Hi, and I am Dawn Reese. Welcome to Hollywood Connections on your drive time home here. And enjoy the show. We've got something really special for you. It's going to be controversial. It's going to be fun. It's going to be outgoing. But before we kick off the show, we're going to just kick off, I think, Gene Anderson's music from Las Vegas. A little bit of Christmas music, and we'll be right back with our VIP guest and talk about what happened at Side Splitters Comedy Club with Gilbert Godfrey that we saw last night. And also,
nice.
I know we're going to get him on. I have his agent. And we also have Bobby Slayton's interview coming up. So it's going to be fun. Stay around. And we're going to be right back with Rudy Gonzalez. I'll tell you who this amazing man is in just a minute. Christmas cheer from Gene Anderson. Of course, he was with the Funkadelics, one of my good friends in Las Vegas, and walked me down the aisle 2 years ago when I got married to this beautiful, wonderful, handsome man. Next to me, Burt Arnold is here. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
He's having discussions with me off the camera as well as off the air. So anyways, let's go to our first VIP call-in, Rudy Gonzalez.
Hey, Dawn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rudy. And
happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. I know, Rudy, we go way back. I mean, gosh, I think, 25, 30 years. And you've always been there and had my back. And, you know, I want to help promote the book with The Inner Ring, and it's very exciting. There's so much to tell everybody about who you are. And in a synopsis, do you have another call-in as well with you?
I believe I asked Marty to join us. He might be joining us. He's out of Florida area, so we'll see if that happens.
Wonderful. So tell us, you know, you were a bodyguard for many celebrities, but also tell us how you connected first with Mike Tyson.
I met Mike Tyson by chance in a cold November night in 1989. When I was hired as a part-time limousine driver after the Playboy Club shut down. I was a Playboy rabbit for the Playboy Enterprise. And to my surprise, this guy jumps in the car and didn't know who he was and tells me to drive him around. And it turned out to be Mike Tyson a year before he became the youngest heavyweight champion in the world. And from that moment on, Don, I stepped into his world and stayed there for almost 8 years. I was with him around the clock and saw the greatest tragedy unfold of in American sports, what they did to Tyson.
You know, I was watching some documentaries, you know, on Netflix, and really watching the history of how he started out so young boxing because of the neighborhood he was in and being bullied, and how he, you know, his trainer, which really amazed me. I want to say something very positive. His trainer that was with him, you know,
Custom Auto.
Thank you.
Yes.
And what he kept putting into his head, you're so great. You're going to be the greatest. You're going to be such a great boxer. And he kept giving him all these, you know, inspiration words every day. And I think that's amazing because he really talked about how that felt for him, you know, as well. But you have a different story with The Inner Ring. Tell us about the book.
Well, the book portrays what I saw from the rearview mirror of his life and what the tragedy of what I saw outside the ring. I mean, he was a brilliant fighter inside the ring. He is, to this day, one of the kindest souls that I've ever had the opportunity to know and work for. But the systematic betrayal that came upon when Don King stepped into the picture and started to use the race card as a way to inject hate and control Tyson to the point where they destroyed him. Basically, Mike Tyson winded up broke where there was no money. And then at the end of this, he was in my opinion, and the opinion of all of us that knew him, was tragically set up with this rape that happened. And it just dissolved one of the greatest heavyweight champions that ever stepped in the ring.
Besides Don King, do you think the downfall of Mike Tyson was basically Custom Auto's death because he was such a father figure to him?
I once was quoted by saying it was the unmaking. He started to create something that he never finished, and everybody else stepped in and put in a different form into Tyson. And from the day that Custy Amato passed away, and also his sister, who was a great inspiration to him and one who begged him to stay away from Don King from the beginning, Tyson was on an express train to demise. He never recovered from any of that. He was just looking for the next father figure, the next leader, and he never found that in the boxing world. What he found was a group of guys that really had an alternative method to destroy his career.
Now, you talk about Custom Auto and Don King, but there was another factor there, and I watched his one-man show, which if you've never seen his one-man show, it's an absolutely brilliant piece of, I would say, art by Mike Tyson. Robin Givens, how much did she contribute to his downfall? Because you hear stories about Givens and how she was with Brad Pitt at one time and how she was taking his money and there were some abuse issues. Go ahead and talk about her her aspect in his life.
In the book, her chapter is called Gotta Have It Givens. From the moment she stepped into Tyson's life with her mother, she had an agenda. Robin Givens and her mother were the one that opened the back door to Tyson's life with Don King. They started the racism. You got to get rid of the white man. He's ripping you off. You got to go black. You got to get with the black promoter. And systematically, she had her own motive. And she used, you know, he really cared about her. He really was in love. I used to bring flowers to the TV stations. He used to put me on jets to fly to London to have jewelry made from her from Harry Winston. She would throw it out the window. She was never satisfied with anything. I saw nothing but hate out of her eyes. to someone who did nothing but open his arms and his heart to her, and she just wanted it all.
You know, I was watching the documentary, too, about how he said he was very young when he married her, and he just wanted to get married. And, you know, he did bring up in the documentary a little bit of a gold digger.
Well, she was on Head of the Class as an actress. He saw her on TV,
correct,
of course, at ABC at the time. And he was Mike Tyson. He pretty much could get anything that he wanted, but he was so much of a naive kid when he was younger. He had Customato, and Customato was taking him under his wing because he really never had a father figure like Cuss. So people like Don King and people like Robin Givens would be, you know, absolutely bad for him because they did take him for everything he had. Does, when you were around Mike Tyson, does he ever talk about the Buster Douglas fight? Because, of course, it's probably one of the biggest upsets in boxing history.
What's very little known, and you will see that's been documented now, and I wrote, when I sat down with a criminal attorney to write this book, I wanted it to read like a deposition, and I wanted the facts to be, it's not just a story, it reads like a deposition of internally the book became a witness for Mike in his lawsuit against King many years later, that they basically were drugging Tyson. They were giving Mike Tyson all type of psychotic drugs. She was having it put in his food. And what happened in Japan was the beginning of the end, because of the situation with Don King back then was that he was losing millions of dollars because you couldn't go to a Mike Tyson fight. You know, a promoter makes all his money at the gates. By the time you got through people saying, excuse me, and you sat down on your chair, the fight was over. And he always told Mike, I need you to stop knocking these guys out. I need, this is a show. And Mike was a fighter. Mike went in there. When that bell rang, he was a champion, and he went in there to knock you out, not to play games. And they used Tokyo and Japan. We never trained. We lived in Japan for a year, and we never trained when we were in Japan. All we did was go sightseeing. He kept telling Mike, you can knock this guy out in your sleep. And they reversed everything that he was trained and taught by Custy Amato as a boxer. And he wasn't a boxer anymore. The boxer died when Cuss died in him. What was the remnants of Mike Tyson's training was just everything that Cuss taught him. Nothing else ever came to fruition with training or anything like this. It was just, let's take enough money as we can and let's run with it.
Mm. Well, now on the book, I know that you can, where can they buy this book, Rudy? I know you have it on Amazon and other places. I mean, where's the main place they can buy the book at?
The book has just been re-released after 10 years by popular demand. I remastered the book. We brought the book up to speed. We closed a lot of stories that when I told this amazing story in 1995, everybody thought I was, you know, the uncrowning on Don King. As you know, Don King is long gone from the boxing world. A lot of things happened. The book now will be available for Christmas as a new release book. We've also added a collector's edition that will be a full-color book, and it'll be a download and on-demand printing book through Amazon starting Christmas.
Oh, now you're also working on something pretty exciting. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute, and Peter's going to play it. You want to set up the trailer clip that we're about to play that you sent me?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you...
Yeah, tell us about the clip we're about to play.
The clip, it comes from a video that we put together for the Inner Ring that shows different aspects of the story and how it all comes together. You know, Don King used one of, you know, in 1991, Don King jumped on a private jet and flew to Germany, and he paid $4 million for a book. And he was all excited about coming back with this book. And what we realized when he came back, and he came back with this big German lady who was always whispering in his ears, Don King in a secret auction purchased the handwriting notes of Goebbels under the formula of propaganda. Don always knew that he can kill you faster with gossip than a bullet, and he used propaganda to keep Mike enraged, to make sure that he stayed in trouble, to make sure that all these elements were around him, because he always had to go back to Don King. The video kind of tells you a quick synopsis of how all these things come together.
Okay.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. I love this.
I know, Pete, it's a surprise for you, too.
I love this. I do a sports talk show on Saturday afternoon, so hearing all this is unbelievable. So let's go to the clip here. Here we go. The Inner Ring.
We'll be right back.
About getting hit is not going to have a good sense of anticipation.
Right.
It will affect it. And most important, when you get hit, like you get excited. You get hit, bang, you get, oh, you get excited, and your head comes up the end. When you get hit, that's when you gotta be calm. That's when you gotta be calm, when you get hit. A professional fighter has gotta learn how to hit and not get hit, at the same time be excited. That's what professional boxing is about. You gotta be clever, you gotta be smart, and not get hit. And you're able to do this, you're a fighter.
I've got goosebumps on the line, the WBC Heavyweight Championship of the World. Tyson goes to work right away, and he gets back for trouble, and he's down. It's all over. We've got a brand new Heavyweight Champion of the World, Mike Tyson.
Jews love the Jews. I think that's noble. The Italians love Italians. When Irish love Irish. But when a nigga loves a nigga, it's an unpardonable sin. You can't be right. You're a nigga to your dad. If you're a poor nigga, you're a poor nigga. If you're a nigga, you're a rich nigga. But you never stop being a nigga. You get to be just educated. You understand? Depravity, poverty, ignorance, lecklessness, lewdness, evil, everything that was negative and unholy was attributed to the and everything that was holy, glorified, was attributed to the white people. The money, the wealth, power, and with the blacks is the powerlessness that we have to be able to deal with against the power. You got to understand that negative associations coupled with blackness is what make these things happen. It's been a condition of racism since this country was founded 400 years ago.
No, get off my hand.
You got a lot of people coming.
I ain't doing scumbag. You.
I got rid of them, and then I got caught up with this other piece of shit, Don King, who's a wretched, who's just a wretched, slimy, reptilian motherfucker.
Oh, well. Whoops.
Yeah, we had a little bad word there. I think I got it. But basically what this says, and I'm just looking at it here, your claim is, and it's, it sounds like it's a very true claim, that Don King basically manufactured the Desiree Washington. He made her, in so many words, he paid her to frame Mike Tyson. Is that what I'm getting out of this whole thing here, the inner ring?
You know, after everything, after Tyson went to prison and stuff, I was asked to meet with the FBI in New York City, and I sat there and answered a lot of questions, including his signature. All the contracts were signed by Mrs. King. Mike Tyson's signature was forged throughout his whole career. All the contracts. One of the most amazing things was they showed me a video in an airport a month before this alleged rape, where Desiree Washington was meeting with one of Don King's disciples, John Horn, who was in the airport in Las Vegas meeting with them. This was a premeditated plan to set up Tyson in order to hide one fact here, that there was no money. And that Mike Tyson, we found out by chance that he was broke. He was one of the richest men in the world at one time, a sport athlete that year. And checks were bouncing left and right because there was no money. It was just a big facade, and it was all controlled by Don King. You'll see in the book his cars, his 200 car collections were all registered to companies owned by Don King. We lived in homes. We built a home in Southington, Ohio, where Don King and his wife owned the land. And we built a $25 million home on leased land owned by King. Truly one of the greatest tragedies in the sports of boxing, how they systematically put this man in that position.
Absolutely. You know, with all these new facts coming out, I mean, you could definitely see that Don King was a part of the ruination of boxing and the sport, and a lot of promoters these days are still the reason for the downgrade of boxing because of the shadiness and because of the gangster mentality, if you will, fixing fights. Let me ask you this, speaking of tragedies, does Mike ever talk about the time when he was in Las Vegas? And I believe he, trying to think of the fighter he fought, but he actually did the theme song for Tupac did the theme song for him. Does he ever talk about that event? Because that was one of the main tragedies in history of Tupac getting shot in Las Vegas.
Oh, that whole evening, he's always talked about it, and there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of struggle behind the scenes with Tupac and King and Mike. Tupac was one of his best friends and basically was trying to advise him to get away from this guy. Get away from Don. You don't need him. Mike was a promotion company in itself. If you look at boxing today with Mayweather and De La Hoya, every fighter now steps into the ring is his own promoter. They become their own promotion company. They become their own network. And this was the beginning of that era for them where everybody saw that Tyson could do a lot better than King because they saw the vision, especially Tupac. And to this day, it's just a lot of things that happen in Vegas that don't make sense, you know, that don't make sense.
Well, also, too, Rudy, the other exciting news, you have an animated, tell us about what's coming up. I don't want to spoil it. Can you tell everybody?
Yeah, throughout the years, I have sold the rights to this book to do a story, a movie. I set out to do a movie and tell the story in a fashion where, you know, it could change the next generation of fighters. Or make you have questions of people around you because sometimes the closest person to you is the most dangerous. And then started to deal with the Hollywood situation and the producers and the whole control in there. I got fed up with it, Don, many years ago, and I decided to start working on an animated film. We have been now working for almost a year on coming out with the first CGI film to be able to go back into this world and tell this story the way I felt it needed to be told. And you can't do that with actors today. There is no actor that can replace Don King. These actors today, you look at some of these movies, it was actually comical, and I didn't want that. So I turned to the CGI community and the animators to say, hey, let's bring back the inner ring into a 3D format and tell a story and bring the audience into this world. When people have told me when they read The Inner Ring, it's like they were walking next to me, and that's how we wanted to do the film. We wanted to take you on a journey and expose everything without any conclusions I'm not putting ideas in people's heads. I'm just laying out the facts and let people come up with their own theory of what they felt that can happen. And I felt that the CGI community was the best way because I don't have to make a $25 million budget to feed union workers five times a day. I've got 50 guys working on this. We're now added more people to this, and we created this in the computer.
Also, too, Rudy, this is very exciting. I have to bring up, I'm going to step back a couple of years when you popped over to Clearwater, Florida, and you had Macho Camacho here with us, and I had the chance to meet him before he had passed away, and you were very good friends with him as well.
We grew up together. We were childhood friends from the age of four and right up to the time where what happened to Camacho, and that's another link to Don King, he destroyed Camacho's career. Hector Macho Camacho was a brilliant fighter, but in many cases, when we would go collect his purse, instead of having money, there would be drugs. They would pay him in drugs, and King knew that he had a drug addiction, and he would use that as a tool to destroy him. And Camacho died, got shot in the face in Puerto Rico over a $2 bag of cocaine.
Mm. And it pretty much solidifies what everybody's said and what everybody's thought about Don King. He's one of the slimiest people ever in the boxing world. And again, he is part of the ruination of boxing at this point.
Mm-hmm. He destroyed the sport single-handedly. One of the greatest. This boxing is the only sport that we have in this country. Where I grew up, there was no golf courses. We didn't have tennis courses. I grew up thinking a golf stick was a cane because I would see all the gangsters walking around with golf sticks and they look like canes. And boxing seemed to be the way out for many individuals, including Camacho at the age of, when you started at the Golden Gloves and you earned your rank right up to the Olympics. It changed a lot of stories. It changed a lot of lives. But Don King single-handedly destroyed that sport with greed. And you know what's sad, sir? There was so much money. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, and these guys were not satisfied. Don wanted his soul. he was not happy until he sucked Mike Tyson's soul away.
Well, you know, another thing, too, I have my husband here. Bert Arnold says hello.
Hi, Rudy. How you doing? Nice to talk
to you
again.
You finally got Dawn, huh?
Absolutely. We got married a couple years ago. Hell yeah.
Finally happy. I'm so happy for you guys.
I am. You know, Rudy, I got a funny story to tell the audience as well. And our Starcom Network listeners on the 47 syndicated stations on Saturdays and Sundays, Rudy comes down to Clearwater Beach. He's very Miami. I'm telling Miami. You know, he's like Miami Vice, you know, and he comes into town and we're on the sailboat. He's got, I've got to get off of Gilligan's Island. We got Skipper, my brother. He's sitting on the boat. He's like, I'm stuck here in Clearwater, which, yes.
Rudy does.
I remember, I remember telling Don, you sure you want to go in the bottom of that boat and go in the ocean with this guy? You might wind up somewhere in the middle of the ocean. And we were concerned with Don Reese.
That was funny. And I'm going to go, I'm going to step back in time. You don't know this. Can I talk about exotic flights as well?
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah.
Still there. Are you still running the airline?
You didn't sound too excited about that.
Are you still running? Are you running the airline still?
Exotic flights, Don, has become bigger than I can handle it. I started a private jet company, everybody laughed, and they looked at me like, okay, this guy will be around for a week.
He had serious heavy metal in the hangar.
Yeah.
Yeah. 14 years later.
Serious heavy metal.
Yeah. 14 years later, we've become an amazing brand, full of controversy, like everything I do. I've got some of the most beautiful flight attendants from all around the world walking around in leather uniforms, and we don't apologize for who we are. And I've kind of started a rock aviation with this company, but it's doing well. It's expanding. We're expanding into Dubai now and other regions. And it just, because commercial aviation is gone, it's become flying bus service.
Well,
there is no more service.
I remember when we started, when Rudy, this is, I'm talking like 20 years ago, when Rudy had me working with him at the hangar, and we were down, is at Opa-locka Airport, or one of the airports, and I'm in the hangar, it's so hot, and the fans are on, and, you know, the girls are coming, they cute hats, red hats, and if you put in, actually, you know, can we just play that clip? Hold on, Rudy.
Sure.
I think we found something that we'll just tell. I think I took a clip. Hold on. We'll be right back.
We believe you only get one chance to make a first impression, and that impression will last a lifetime. Welcome to Exotic Flight, your ultra-private jet service. We fly strictly by the hour with no hidden fees. And with our 5-star service and all amenities included, you'll wonder why you flown with anybody else.
Oh, Peter's smiling in the back there.
Sounds definitely something out of the 90s, that's for sure. Going back to Mike Tyson really quick, Rudy, does he still watch the sport? And do you think ever since Mike Tyson, first and foremost, is there ever going to be another Mike Tyson for the heavyweight division? And what is wrong, in your opinion and in his opinion, with the heavyweight division in boxing?
Cuss probably said it very well, that a champion is born, not created. I don't think we've seen the light of the next great heavyweight champion. I believe what's happened with the sport of boxing, acceptance has become a way of life, just like excuses has become a way of doing things in this world today. We think if we give you excuses, that's okay, and boxing is not done like that. So I don't think the discipline like the Custia models and the Jim Jacobs and those kind of guys, it died. It died a long time ago. You see these boxers today, they're out of shape. They just walk in a ring and they think, you know, putting a YouTube video is accomplishment. So I believe the heavyweight division is not going to see a great champion for a long time at the level of Mike Tyson, because the style and the technique and the discipline that was injected into Tyson by Custia Amato can never be replaced, reenacted in today's society, because I don't think the knowledge is available.
In your opinion, is that why boxing right now is flailing along and MMA is basically overtaking them?
Yeah, because MMA is out of control. There's two different sports. MMA is not boxing, and we all learned that with Mayweather, with McGuire. He talked a lot of nonsense and blew a lot of smoke, but when he got in that ring with a champion, that's what a champion does. And that's what we're able to see. And still you have guys, a very close friend and client of mine, Mayweather and the De La Hoyas and and some of these fighters that, but they're not heavyweights, that have continued to keep the sport alive, because it is a phenomenal sport.
Do you think Mayweather is going to come back, and what does Tyson think of Mayweather?
You know, Tyson and Mayweather used a little publicity stunt there. I think Tyson didn't appreciate the fact that Mayweather's out there. You know, it's strange. I'll tell you a story. When Tyson was training back in the 90s, Mayweather used to come to the gym. That's why he's my client at Exotic Fly Suite. He always tells me, I remember you used to open the back door because Tyson used to throw him out. Get the guy out of here. He always had a thing with the Mayweather family. It wasn't just the father, the uncle. He just found them to be country, what they use the word country. And, you know, you can't take away what Mayweather has accomplished in boxing. He's done it in boxing, not selling underwears, not selling deodorants. He's done it in the ring, blow by blow, punch by punch. And I think Tyson, at his time now, retirement, saw a little bit of himself and kind of took the road to say, hey, I don't think this guy should talk about Muhammad Ali. And I just think it was more hype in the boxing world.
And if you don't know who we're speaking with right now, it's Rhee Gonzalez. He wrote the book, Inner Ring, about Mike Tyson and the characters in there, Robin Givens and Don King, a really precise and analytical view of the whole situation. So,
awesome. Is Marty on? Did he call in yet?
Yeah. Oh, I did. All right, can you hear me?
Hi, Marty. Yes, we weren't sure. Welcome to the show, Hollywood Connections. And you're a special.
Well, thank you, Don. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody.
You too. So what is your part with Rudy in the book and everything and what you're doing together?
Well, I met Rudy back in 1995 when we worked on the original version of The Inner Ring. And we were working on it at the time when Mike Tyson was about ready to be released from his prison sentence, which turned out to be 3 years. So Rudy found me through somebody in the legal community and knew that I had been writing. And he told me the story about his experiences being 24/7 with Mike Tyson for more than 5 years. And I mean, I literally sat there for 3 hours and didn't say a word. I mean, it was such an incredible story. And so I said, yeah, Rudy, I'd love to do this. Tell your story to the world. And Rudy said, well, we have to do it by the time Mike Tyson gets out of prison. I go, Rudy, that's scheduled to be just in like a month or so. He said, Marty, you going to do it? And I said, I'll do it. So we almost hit that objective. We were a little bit over that. But I just got to mention one thing, that when we did the original Inner Ring, Amazon.com had not even launched yet. Amazon really was the first online bookseller and started up about a year after that. So in a nutshell, what we've done is we've looked at the events, since the time we wrote the original Inner Ring. We've updated the story because so much has happened in Tyson's life since he got out of prison. And I just want to say one thing, that as Rudy mentioned, the re-release of the book, updated, should be sometime a little bit after Christmas. It's not there yet. If you go to Amazon.com, you're going to find the original Inner Ring, but it's only available through resellers. That's really not what you should go for. You should wait until the book comes out in re-release where you can actually buy it online, and it's going to be in different formats. You're going to be able to get a paperback. You're going to be able to get a full-color collector's edition, and you'll be able to get a Kindle download or a download using the Kindle application for any tablet or device. So if people would just jot down The Inner Ring by Rudy Gonzalez and be looking for it in a couple of weeks, you should be able to get the new edition.
Super great. That is wonderful news to hear that, Marty. I think I met you back at a film festival, now that I remember, back in West Palma many years ago with Rudy.
Yes.
Very well could be.
I remember that, yes. So also, too, is we want to let everyone know, Rudy Gonzalez, just a very talented man in what he's doing. How long did it take you to write the book, Rudy?
What was it, Marty?
Would you say?
Well, I think we worked on it probably over a period of about 2 months. We wanted to make sure that when it first came out that we were, making sure all the T's were crossed and the I's dotted. And so Mike Tyson, as I recall, was released from prison in Indiana, I think it was like in March or April, and we had the book out sometime in May.
Okay.
And Don, I remember the first thing Marty said to me when I walked up to his law firm in Florida, and he was a lawyer, and he's sitting there behind his desk, and after hearing the story, he goes, well, I will do this, but if I ever find out you lied to me one time, I will drop this project and I will not be involved. Mm. 20 years later, we re-released the book because everything came to fruition to a point where it even shocked him the way I wrote. I told the story because I knew the ending. You know, there was no happy ending for Tyson. And
wow.
I'm very proud to not ever, you know, not having to disappoint Marty. And when you sit down with a lawyer and you look in his eyes and you tell him everything I just told you is true, and he did his research and his due diligence to build this book. It's not just words. We spoke to thousands of people in this.
The thing that makes this story very unique is that Rudy is the only person that was with Mike Tyson 24/7 during all the critical years after Cus D'Amato died. And Tyson went from these different phases, the original Team Tyson, then turned into the Givens and her mother phase, then the Don King phase. And Rudy was there seeing everything 24/7 with Mike Tyson. Nobody else was. Rudy was the only person to survive that long in Mike Tyson's inner ring.
Wow.
It's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So who came up with the idea for Mike Tyson to have his one-man show? Was it Mike or was it you guys that kind of influenced him? Who was it?
No. I believe that came across with his wife, his current wife, who tried to salvage his, you know, his financial and his life. And they came up with that idea. And it was a test market for a while. And then it went mainstream, and then he became really good at telling what happened to his life, and it's an extraordinary show to watch. But it's also sad for me. It was very tragic. I walked out of there. I wasn't happy. It didn't leave me happy because, like I said, I've seen the demise of truly one of the greatest boxers to ever step into a ring.
Well, you know, also too is Peter, if you don't know, with Rudy's background as well, you know, being a bodyguard is a really tough job from all the other people that you've also been with, Christine Aguilera. I mean, can I talk a little bit about that as well?
Just name dropping over here, Don Reese.
Yeah, Don loves him. I mean, she's okay when we planned the show. She goes, okay, I want to know all the people that are going to be on the show with you. I was like, oh, Don, I just think it's going to be me. I was very.
Listen to Don. You got a guy that's hanging out with Mike Tyson 24/7. I mean, this is enough right here. For me, this is awesome.
I know it is, and that's why we're gonna get you the book, and we're gonna have him call back and do another special as well.
We need to get Iron Mike on. That's what we need to get on.
I know.
I'd love to have the interview with him.
I've worked with a lot of clients throughout the years, and I've seen a lot of things. I've had clients, including Christina Aguilera, have done a lot of world tours, and I've been around the world several times with these clients and seen the world, but I've also seen the same formula that is in life. If you don't have the right people around you, no matter what you do, you will never be successful, and that's the key element. That's what we come in as. Mike Tyson had a famous thing that people would say to Mike, why do you need four bodyguards around you? And Mike would say, they're not here to protect me, they're here to protect you from me. And that was basically our job.
That's a great impression.
Our job was not to protect you from, you know, we basically were protecting you from him. And this is how we walked around. We were more concerned with the well-being of civilians around him, because if you rubbed them the wrong way, you were going to pay the price. But, it's been an extraordinary career, which now I transitioned that into what I do with the private jet company. And we take care of our clients now at 41,000 feet versus walking side by side with them. But I've been very humbled and very honored to meet a lot of my clients to this year that I can pick up the phone and call in a lot of favors, because, you know, when it's time to tell you what's happening, sometimes you don't want to hear it, but the truth is the truth. And I kind of hold that to that's what we do as a protection. To protect people, you have to protect them from every element.
I know you're friends with them, Rudy, but tell me, be honest here, the tattoo on the face, are you liking it, or is that a mistake by Mike?
What was that?
The tattoo on his face. Did you like that tattoo on his face?
No, that was, if I would have been with him at that time and he wanted to just, okay, Mike, let's just get you Hannah. Why don't you just put Hannah right for your face for a couple of months? Why do that for the rest of your life? But he didn't have that. That's what happens when you have yes men around you. And go do it. And to me, it took away the value of what he was. I know Cus was turning in his grave, and Jim Jacobs and all those guys. I said, why would you do that? Why would you do that? That's not who you are.
Well, It's so much, so many questions yet, War Peter. I know we look at our time. It's 6:45.
I got like one more question. Tell me something that nobody knows about Mike Tyson that's going to be in the book. I know you want everybody to read the book, but tell me something besides the Don King. Tell me something that would surprise a Mike Tyson fan that's in the book.
There are several things, you know, but one of the most touching things that I remember about Mike is how he cared about people. And we would, real quick story, when we bought the home in Barnardville, New Jersey, from the Rothschild family, there was a wine cellar, and he wanted all the wine gone, and he wanted a gym. So we took this wine cellar, I had all these boxes of wine. And we would run around and drive around Harlem. And every time he saw some guy, well, he says, "Yo, man, you want a bottle of wine?" And he would give out this wine. Come back when the managers for the estate for the Rothschild family, they came in to do this. This was a landmark home. It's still there and everything. The guy goes downstairs. We hear him screaming. He goes, "What happened to the wine?" I said, "Yo, I gave that shit away to everybody in Brooklyn." He was giving out $100,000 bottles of wine like it was water. He just cared about people. He would jump out of the car. And he would empty out his pockets. He would take money from me. He would give me all your money, and he would go and he would run. And he couldn't see somebody on the street hungry. I mean, he was and is to this day one of the kindest souls that was just trying to figure all this out at the age of 18 years old.
Wow, amazing!
Yeah. Wonderful story.
Yeah, that's an awesome story. We love that.
I love him in The Hangovers too, man. Those are just funny movies. He's a funny guy. He really
is. That's who he is. That's who he is. He was like that. He was the biggest. He would walk in a room after you got over the fear when he walked into a room. By an hour later, you would be laughing on it because he was just he just wanted to be fun. He was never angry. All this thing about he was enraged and all this was all, you know, systematically injected to him by Don King, John Horn, and Rory Holloway to keep him angry, because if you got somebody angry, you don't want them next to you.
No.
Well, yeah, and you build a monster up, and that monster keeps on going. But again, you know, they could tame the monster, and they can control the monster because they had his money, and they basically screwed him over. And it's just very interesting. I got to read this book and see see everything that comes out of it.
Rudy, is
absolutely, I'm reading it too.
People are asking, is there a website they can go to?
I have the innerring.com with one R, only because two R look. It didn't look right with two R's, but if you go to theinnerring.com, you know, we're developing that. You can see some of the new cover of the book, some of the quotes of the book, and we'll continue to develop that. And I'm also going to be adding a lot of unpublished home footages that I've had. We discovered a camera one year, and we recorded everything. Mike went around. He was his own cameraman. And I have hours and hours of never-published home videos that we're going to incorporate into this and some of the evidence to show how we were able to see. The book shows a lot of evidence of the signatures and how they manipulated Tyson's boxing career.
All right, let's go to one of the reporters of Hollywood Connections. You're on Hollywood Connections, Teresa. Go ahead.
You have one question, Teresa.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, you have one question.
Hi, Dawn. Hi. Did you want me to let him know who I am with Hollywood Connections?
Actually, just we have one question. We're counting down the minutes. Go ahead,
okay.
Teresa.
Okay, this is Teresa Velasquez with the world's classic Mr. Puerto Rico Tourism, listening to Hollywood Connections on TAN Talk Radio 106.1 FM, live internet, and 47 other syndicated stations around the United States. I have a question. As a former bodyguard, what type of self-defense would you recommend?
Aikido.
Aikido?
Yes.
Very interesting. And why?
Why Aikido?
Aikido?
Aikido is in order for Aikido to take place, the threat has to come to you. It's not an aggressive. You don't go around chopping and saying ha ha and karate and screaming and kicking. Basically, for especially for women, all my flight attendants train in Aikido. So it is truly to be able to submit and control an individual, and if need be, you can snap someone's arm in an instant. But it's not an aggressive art. It has to. The energy has to come to you. I cannot force Aikido upon you. But if you bring your energy towards me, we can basically dissolve it very quickly.
Super cool.
What the police department use, a lot of law enforcement use for that type of takedown.
Well, I know we only have 10 minutes. Rudy, we're going to have you come into the station and just do a, you know, two-hour special on you.
I would love to sit there, but I'm going to bring out all your secrets, Donna, but when you used to be a flight attendant.
Oh, That's what I want to hear. Let's make a book about Don Reese.
Hey. You've never seen Don Reese in her red uniform. Wait till I come to it.
Oh.
Sorry.
I do love those red hats. I think it's so Pan Am look, you know.
You did more than the red hats, Don. Well, but that's another show.
But you know what? Rudy has his flight attendants jumping in the ocean and swimming. Actually, you know, not in a pool. He actually has them swimming to shore. So that's very interesting. And, hey, people are asking how they can be a flight attendant for you, Rudy.
I want to hear a story first. You can't tease me like that.
Well, I'm going to keep you that in your mind all night with Dawn walking around in her miniskirt and her red uniform.
That was so cute, Rudy.
A lot of problems,
I love the wings.
Actually, she opened a lot of doors for me very quickly in aviation. We made a lot of quick moves in Opa-locka. She was very brilliant in the aviation. I was actually mad at her for many years. She gave up aviation. She just had enough of it.
I miss it.
She was so talented, and she trained the girls, and she really was. She really knew what she was doing because she was there. She was one who worked for the real guys with real private jets, and that's the difference. You can't be in aviation. You don't have a passport. And she came to me with a lot of credit. From day one, I knew I had found the right person to help launch exotic flights, and we did. We dare be different in aviation, which is a real no-no. I've learned that with some of these guys. I'll tell you some stories about Dawn one day.
Well, I was a flight attendant for Eddie DeBartlow with G4s, and, you know, I've had so much fun. I do miss the
flight. The owners of the Dolphins, the football player, they own the Dolphins.
Yep.
She's got some stories there.
Wayne Huizenga, really, flew for the Panthers.
Wow.
I know we have 5 minutes left. I do have to play Bobby Slayton's interview from last week. They're waiting on that. Rudy and Marty, thank you so much. The Inner Ring.
You.
Talking about Mike Tyson, a new book that actually Rudy has written. And please, we'll keep you posted on HollywoodConnections.biz. But before we go, guys, thank you for calling in. We have to go to our sponsors. Teresa, thank you. We have 3 minutes left here. And we're going to our MyPillow.com commercial. And, guys, we'll have you back on really soon. I know it's a good show. Very good show. Thank you both. God bless.
Hello, thank you,
I'm
fellas.
Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Remember, go to MyPillow.com, put in promo code BEACH, my favorite word, B-E-A-C-H, and you help support the show. You know, my husband's here, and they send us some pillows, and I took his. Now I have two.
Oh, yeah, she takes them all.
A pillow person.
Pillow stiller.
I am. But MyPillow, thank you for all our supporters and the StarCom Network with supporting this show so we can go more hours. And, you know, we have more producers, agents, casting directors coming around the corner that want to be on the show. We have a SAG agent under the show that can help you. But you have to have good headshots and a good resume. If you want to learn more about what I do, go to HollywoodConnections.biz. If you'd like to be a Secret Santa, put in Dawn Reese, R-E-E-S-E, show at yahoo.com, and also support us through PayPal. And that helps a lot, you know, because we had a Secret Santa the other day. I was like, oh, my God, this is so great. That's what paying for the show today. So we just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Peter, did you have fun today?
I did, absolutely. I didn't think I was going to be able to interview somebody that was hanging out with Mike Tyson 24/7 and had a story that I never heard before, but you learn something new every day, and you learn that Don King was a part of this whole mastermind scheme to get Desiree Washington, who at the time was the accuser of Mike Tyson, saying that she was raped. And what you come to find out, according to Mr. Gonzalez, that it was actually set up by Mr. King himself.
Wow. I was on a set with
Bruno's. I believe it.
Yeah, I was on a set with
I do too.
Robin Givens.
Yeah. Yeah, he was set up.
Hello, guys.
For a...
They're talking.
Downfall, and Don King sucked millions of dollars away from him and took all the attention. It was all about him.
But here's what else, guys. Okay, I was on a set with, let me go, take three. Burn Notice with Robin Givens, and she didn't talk to me. She just walked right past me.
Yeah.
Didn't say hi.
You don't sound like a very nice person.
Anyways, we have a couple minutes left. We have to play our intros of our reporters. We've got a special coming up with the World Tourism Pageants. Be patient, ladies. We are going to do 1 hour special only with you once a month. We're kind of regrouping. And I just want to introduce some of our reporters from around the United States that are going to be with us in January with some amazing footage and stories that they're going to talk about their cities. If you'd like to be a reporter, call 727-871-7788. I am having auditions here as well for model, actors, singers, comics. If you'd like to come to the station before my show and audition, you may audition live on the air. Again, that number is the same number to call. And let's go for it, Peter.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Teresa Velasquez. I'm World's Classic, Miss Puerto Rico Tourism 2018, and I'm with Hollywood Connections.
From the great state of Indiana, I am Loretta Kendall, Mrs. Hoosier State Tourism. The hottest spot in entertainment talk is right here on 106.1 FM Tan Talk Radio. You're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese.
Hi, I'm Ella Lozier, and I'm your world's preteen Miss United States Tourism. From Fort Worth, Texas, you are listening to Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio, 106.1 FM.
My name is Carrie O'Gorman from the great state of Michigan. I am your world's Mrs. Great Lakes Tourism 2018. I just wanted to let you know you are listening to the Hollywood Connections on 106.1 FM in the Clearwater, Tampa Bay area, as well as 47 syndicated stations across the United States.
Hi, I'm Marigana Lintigato, reporting live from Hollywood Connections.
Oh, and I'm your world's Miss Mississippi Tourism 2018. I'm reporting live from Sojourn, Mississippi. And you're listening to Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio 106.1 FM and around the world on also internet and 47 other syndicated stations around the United States.
That's just some of our reporters. We'll have a few minutes. Remember, give God all the glory and honor. Watch things happen in your life. And I will be in Phoenix, Arizona next week for a few days to see my sons. Cannot wait.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We got a couple minutes to go. I mean, you're cutting short.
I know. I'm looking at the time, and I have to pay Bobby Slayton's interview that I did last week.
You want to play a little bit of it right now?
Yeah, let's try that.
Okay, let's do it.
There we go. We'll be right back. Bobby Slayton, he was my first interview in college.
Comedy Club. I'm Dawn Reese, Hollywood Connections, 106.1 FM, and the four other local stations, 104.3 FM, and the syndicated 47 stations across the United States on Starcom. I want to thank you so much because it means a lot to me. You know, when somebody stole my footage back in college, you were my first interview.
Yeah, you. I got your Facebook message. So you were doing this in college too?
I did.
And so you interviewed people for what, the college newspaper?
We actually had our own local cable, and you were so funny. You kept taking my microphone.
I was about to do it now because I feel... Really, I'm so used to holding the microphone that when I feel like somebody's feeding me. I know how to use a fork. So when you're holding a microphone in front of my face, I feel like I should be in control. But I'll let you. It's your little show.
Thank you.
Right,
I will never forget that. And then you said to me, you said, Dawn, who's going to watch this? And I'm thinking, well, that was cable. Now I have over, a couple of viewers. I'm like 4 million viewers.
Really?
I know.
Well, now I'm really nervous. I'd like to say hello to your imaginary 4 million viewers out there. Hello.
There we go. 106.1 FM. You'll hear this tomorrow and on the syndicated. So, Bobby, a lot of people are asking me, you've done so much in movie and TV. When you started out as a comic, there's so many new comics.
If you'd like to hear more of that interview tonight, go to hollywoodconnections.biz. We're going to play that whole interview next week as well.
Sounds good.
Sounds great. Everybody, have a great week. I hope you're getting your Christmas shopping done. And, Bert, any last words?
Merry Christmas, everybody. Tampa Bay, we love you.
And all my reporters, be patient. We're going to be getting you on the air on a special. So as soon as your footage comes in, and it's going to be all about you. Again, I'm Dawn Reese, Hollywood Connections. If you need an agent, you want to get connected, please look at our podcast on tantalknetwork.com. There's so many connections, Peter, from over 3 years to help you get connected in show business. We love you, and thank you for all our supporters. God bless, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.